Open your Bible in Mark chapter 8. Jesus feeds the 4,000. Mark chapter 8. And Kate's going to read for us, okay? We're going to read all the, she's going to read all the way, Mark 8, verse 1 to 21.
Mark chapter 8, verse 1 to 21. During those days, another large crowd gathered. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, But where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground, and we had taken the seven loaves and given thanks. He broke them and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, and they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 were present. After he had sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, Why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly I tell you, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. Verse 14, The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for the one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this with one another and said, It is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see and understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketful of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, seven. He said to them, Do you still not understand?
May the Lord bless his word. Church, the same miracle again. The same miracle again. Does Jesus need to repeat things for us to understand? Many times, right? And it's to keep telling us about the same things. I do want you to really pay attention to the end that Kate's read. Do you guys have eyes but don't see? Do you have ears but don't listen? These words Jesus said in the beginning, when he started to speak in parables, Jesus was very clear. I will speak parables. Some will understand. Who are the people who will understand? My disciples. Some will not understand. Who are the people who will not understand? Those who don't believe in me. Now Jesus is using that same term. Eyes to see but don't see. Ears to listen but don't hear. He is applying that same term to the disciples. Right? Here it's intriguing. And as we talked about those terms, eyes to see, ears to hear, and they don't see and they don't listen. What's the conclusion, church? Idols. Who are the idols? The ones who have eyes but don't see. The ones who have ears but don't listen. The ones who have mouth but don't speak. That's what Jesus is saying. My disciples, there is something in your heart that looks like idolatry. And that's what we're going to find out today. as we're going to come to this sermon, you see that Jesus, he approached it with question and answer. My disciples, do you remember? Yes, we do. Do you remember? Yes, we do. We're going to do the same thing in this sermon. But before we do that, I want just that we see the amazing mind of a Hebrew teacher. Okay? I keep telling you, church, as you read the Bible, you don't want to read the Bible with the eyes of a North American. You want to read the Bible understanding whoever wrote this, he saw the world in a different perspective than us. Okay? Look at how it's amazing, the Hebrew mind, and Mark, Matthew, Luke, John, they are doing this to us. Whenever we write a book, church, we divide the book by chapters. Chapter 1, introduction. Chapter 2, body. Last chapter, conclusion. Right? That's the way we write. Look at the Hebrew mind. They do that as well. But they do that within the book. Look at how Jesus began his chapter. It starts with the first bread multiplication. We saw this 2 months ago. Then we have a lot of subdivisions. Jesus walks on the water. Why did he do that? To show to his disciples, I am more than a miraculous maker. I am God. I walk on the water. I rule creation. I give more than bread. I am life itself. Which is literally what happened next. The bread of life. We spend 3 sermons talking about the bread of life. It is the longest chapter in the Gospels. And what was the theme of the bread of life? If you eat manna, you're still going to die. If you eat from me, Jesus Christ, if you believe I am the bread of life, if you believe I am the Lord, the Savior, the Messiah, and you acknowledge that, and you call me, and you repent from your sins, you're going to be saved. The bread of life. Then we move to the religious traditions. And you saw, by the way, wasn't that sermon nice? Okay, I'm going to say this again. Religious traditions, wasn't that sermon nice? Yes. Yes and no. Mixed feelings. No problem. No problem. We went to religious traditions. And what is the problem, the issue there? It is, you are in a block. Unless you wash, you are on my team. If you don't wash, get out. No, thank you. Okay? That's very important. First question I need to ask you here in the religious tradition sermon, church, it is this. Have you ever seen a Jewish person trying to evangelize someone, trying to make converts come to my religion? Have you ever seen that? Raise your hand. Okay, let me make the question easy. Have you seen Christians knocking at the doors and saying, you need Jesus? Have you seen that? Okay, good. Have you ever seen a Jewish person doing that? You're never going to see. Never. Why? Religious traditions. My God. How about the world? Who cares? Who cares? I want my Shabbat. I want my wine. I want my kosher food. And the world? Who cares about the world? Right? Religious traditions. That mindset. It's been 2,000 years. it did not change. So then last week, the faith of the Canaanite lady, and you saw that Jesus flipped the tables. He went where no Jewish person would go. And he saves a lady that no Jewish person would bother with her, including the disciples. Do you remember what the disciples did to the lady, church? Send her away. The bread of life is in front of me. Send her away. She doesn't deserve the bread of life, but we deserve. That's the mindset of the disciples of Christ. Terrible, church. Hypocrisy. Ugly. Ugly mindset. So all of that happened. And now we come to the conclusion. The second and last bread multiplication. All of that happened. And now Jesus makes a similar miracle. So let us go to the next slide. Jesus taught through questions and answers, and we will do the same. Before you go to the next slide, Tricia, as a pastor, church, and as a teacher, you always want to vary your methods. Some people are visual. Some people are listeners. Some people like stories. Some people like exhortation. Jesus is a great rabbi, and he teaches his disciples in different ways. And I am learning from Jesus. I just do what he's doing. Question and answer. The idea of this sermon is not that I have the answers for you. The idea of this sermon is that the answers are within you. Okay? I don't give you the answers. The answer is among you. You think, you answer, and you have the sermon. Okay? So, let us see this, church. Is it your first thought that Jesus is rebuking his disciples for lack of faith in their daily provision? Give us our daily bread. You see that disciples here, there is a problem. And what is the problem? Budget meeting. We came to the budget meeting. We thought there was supply for 7 baskets. But we actually have only one basket. We made a mistake in our budget meeting. That's what ignited what Jesus started to teach them. Is that your first thought when Jesus says, why are you guys thinking about your supply? Why are you guys debating whether you have one basket or whether you have 7 baskets? Is that the first thing you think? Supply, daily bread, my own personal life, my own personal church, my own personal ministry. Is that what you think? Or you think something else? Who thinks it's daily provision here? Raise your hand. Who thinks it's something else? Raise your hand. Leo, nobody raised the hand for none of them. Both hands? Okay. Leo said it's both. And I agree with you. So, church, it's not daily provision. And most of us think it's daily provision. Go, what is the little book we read? Daily Bread. Daily Bread. Go to the Daily Bread. If they come to this passage, you're going to see, they're going to say, you don't need to be worried, Jesus is going to supply you. 100% they're going to tell you that. But it's not. Next slide. What do the numbers in this story represent? 4,000. Jesus fed 4,000, and there was 7 baskets leftovers. The 4,000, does that number represent people, or does that number represent supply? People. 4,000 people were fed, but trust me, if they are hungry like the pastor, they ate more than one bread. Okay? That number represents people. How about the 7 baskets, church? Does the 7 baskets represent people, or does that represent supply? Supply. Good. We are getting there. Good. Next question. Do you know that the world's hunger issue is not a matter of lack of food nor lack of money? Raise your hand if you know that information. How many of you did not know that? We have supply, money, food. We have supply to not have one person on earth being hungry. Okay? But that's not the issue. If you come to Brazil and you give Brazil $1 trillion, still Brazil is going to be a poor country. Something happens that the numbers don't get to people, that the supply don't get to people. Something happened on the way, okay? So the issue is not lack of provision. The issue is not lack of money. The issue is something else. Now, do you understand that we are not UNESCO? Who knows who is UNESCO, the organization? Okay, UNESCO, UNICEF, Red Cross, Salvation Army, Good Samaritan Purse. We are not that. Our calling, church, is greater than that because we are the church of the bread of life. What it's important here for you to know with those questions is, if the problem of supply, food, it's not bread or money, it's something else, you want to keep in mind that we have a calling that surpasses that. It's way more than feeding the stomach of people. Our calling is to fill the hearts of people with Jesus Christ. Our call is greater than that. Okay? And in the same way that the issue is not supply, it is also applicable to us. The issue is not supply. Christ has supplied his church. Christ has given the Spirit to his church. Christ has given gifts to his church. The issue is not supply. The bread of life, he wants to get to people's house. The bread of life, he wants to get to people's hearts. Let us move. So now this is a personal and community question. Which best describes your Christian life? Devotional maintenance or Christian mission? Which best describes our local church life? Church maintenance or church mission? You want to ask these few questions, church. When it was the last time I preached the gospel to someone? When is the last time I had someone in my house to preach the gospel to them? Where is the last time those things were my agenda of the prayer? You want to answer those questions. in your personal life and in your church life. Which best describes your Christian life, devotional maintenance or Christian mission? Church maintenance or church mission? With all that, did you guys answer the questions? I need to ask you, those questions bother you? It must bother us. It must. Okay? The same miracle again, yes and no. It is the same miracle, but it's a bit different. And what are the differences between this miracle and the last one, the very first one? The difference is numbers, location, and theology. Church, the first miracle, the numbers were 5,000 people. Everybody with me? 5,000. This one is 4,000. How many baskets leftovers? 12 to the first, and in the second miracle, 7 baskets. What was the location of the miracles? The first one was in Galilee, Israel. Everybody looks the same, everybody speaks the same, everybody's family. This location now, it's different. You are in a pagan land. We don't speak the same language. Jesus is not preaching Aramaic. Jesus is speaking Greek because he is in a foreign land. And what is the great difference, church? It is the theology. The very first time the disciples worked with the bread, feeding 5,000 people, they were just feeding bread. People are hungry. Bread, 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 bread. After all the disciples have been through the bread of life discussion, many disciples resigned their beliefs in Jesus. They turned their backs to Jesus. And then Jesus looked to his disciples and said, will you guys also leave? Do you guys also want to leave? And then Peter says, Lord, to whom shall I go? Only you have words of eternal life. They decide to stay with Christ. That whole theme, the bread of life, that was offensive to 90% of the people who deserted Jesus, the disciples decided to stay because of that speech. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is God. Jesus is more than just a miraculous maker. He is here to save people. All of this should be understood now that they are feeding 4,000 people. When they are feeding the bread, the church, they must know this is not just bread. This is not just Good Samaritan purse. This is not just Salvation Army. This is not just social work. This is the bread of life wants to save this people. The theology, church, it should be different. And once you look at the numbers, everything's so clear. The first miracle, 5,000, the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 12 baskets, 12 tribes. I don't know the names. Reuben, all the way to Dan. You fill in the blank. I don't know the other ones. I only know the famous one. Ephraim, Levi, Judah. The others I don't know. The 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus is the bread of life of the nation of Israel. Simply. 4,000. The four corners of the earth. Jesus is the bread of life of the world. How many baskets? 7. Complete. Perfect. Nobody is left over. Jesus wants to save not just the Jews. Jesus wants to save everyone. All of those numbers magnified with the word thousand. Big. Just like we say billions, millions, trillions. When you use the word thousand, you are magnifying all of this. Jesus is the savior of this people. That's what Jesus is expecting his disciples to understand. So now, just do you understand this? All the numbers and location? Let's move to the next one. Now, to the point we are looking at. The disciples' hearts were hardened again. Before we get to the disciples, the Pharisees demanded a sign of Jesus. Really? Really? Do you guys know that this is my mom's favorite word? Really? Yeah. Because she realized that people, when they say really, they don't say really. They say, really? It's like a very emphatic. Don't say really next to her, okay, church? When she comes to you in May, say, really? She's going to laugh. Pay attention to that. Okay, good. Back to the sermon. So, really, don't answer this question. How come these guys are demanding a sign? Right? Just skip this question. It's a waste of time. So, the next question. What is the east of the Pharisees and Herod? And I have here the answers for us. Hypocrisy, legalism, and power, politics. Now, just to give you a hint, remember, church, the problem of food in the world, it's not lack of money or lack of supply. Do you remember that? The problem is somewhere else. It's not the bread. It's the East. Hypocrisy, legalism, and power. Where do we have this, church, in the context? Power. Before Jesus started his teaching about the bread of life, the feeding of the 5,000, all of this, it started with a political situation in Israel. What was the political situation? Herod. He beheaded John the Baptist to stay in power. That's his east, power, politics. These people are mine. Nobody takes me out of this place. And the Pharisees is hypocrisy and legalism. All of these rooted on the sermon traditions, where Jesus said, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. All they teach is doctrines of men, of men, of men. Hypocrisy and legalism. So Jesus, he looks to his disciples on the day they make the budget meeting and they made a mistake. They thought they are supposed to have 7 baskets, but they have only 1. It's on that time that Jesus says, watch out with the yeast of hypocrisy, legalism, and power. So now, church, were the disciples happy to feed the Gentiles? How many of you have seen a Jewish man, Orthodox, not in Canada or in America, somewhere else, in Brazil, in Europe, in Israel? How many of you have seen that? I believe some of you have visited Israel, so you may know this. The first interaction I had with a Jewish man, Orthodox, it was on the line of a plane. So the line of the plane, everybody was together, waiting to get onto the plane. The Jewish man with his kid was very far. Are they not nice people? They are. They are very kind. That's not the problem, church. The problem is, in their mind, if you are not Jewish, you need to be a little bit far from me. You are Gentile. You are pagan. You are impure. That's the mindset. So now, think about that mindset. And Jesus looked to his disciples and say, go there and give them the bread. And make sure you don't give just the bread. Make sure you handshake. Make sure you pray for them if they need. Make sure you give them a hug if they're crying. And this man, who thinks that everybody should be far from them, now what they need to do? Come closer to them. So, do you guys think they were happy? Do you guys think they agree with the rabbi? Right? Cue for you. Remember what they did to the Canaanite lady one sermon ago. Send her away. Next slide. Now, do you understand Jesus is rebuking them not for lack of provision, what we thought it was the sermon about, but rather for lack of mission? How many of you now understand that? For lack of mission. Next question. So, conclusion. If the hunger problem of the world is not bread nor money, what is it then? Hypocrisy, politics, and all of those things in between. And Jesus, what it's weird, church, is that you expect those problems in the world. You expect those problems in Brazil. You expect those problems in the Rafah border, where Hamas wants the supply because they want to sell the supply and buy guns. You do expect those problems in there. But Jesus is saying that to his disciples. Just nod your head if you're understanding that. Even within us. Even within us. Be careful with the yeast of hypocrisy, legalism, and power. That instead of fulfilling the mission, giving Jesus the bread of life to others, we are not doing it. That's the observation there. Jesus is not talking about UNESCO. He's talking to his church. that needs to share the bread of life. Question for you, church, as our second conclusion. Are you hungry for what God is hungry for? And what are we going to do with our baskets? Are we going to maintain it? Or are we going to do the mission? That's what Jesus is getting at with his disciples. After feeding 4,000 of people, they are getting their baskets and doing maintenance. And Jesus is literally saying, my disciples, if you guys start doing maintenance with your baskets, there is no purpose for me to give you the basket to begin with. Your basket is to fulfill the world. What are we going to do with our baskets? Maintenance or mission? Last one. Don't ever let verse 21 happen to you or to us when Jesus says, don't you understand? Here we finish the sermon. I want you to tell you, can you go back one slide? I want to tell you something that only a Brazilian pastor would say. And young. And crazy. Half crazy. I know it's not common for you to hear this, what I'm going to tell you. Church, God is hungry. I know it's not used, right? God is hungry. The 4,000 people were hungry for Jesus. The disciples are not. Maintenance. In that story, there is another person, Jesus, and he is hungry. Do you guys want to know the biblical reference for Jesus being hungry? You remember what Jesus did before the day he was killed? He went to a fig tree. Do you remember that? Raise your hand. What he was looking for in the fig tree? He was hungry. He saw leaves. He saw what the disciples were doing. We have a basket here, maintenance. Jesus went, saw the leaves. No fruit. No mission. No salvation. What was the end of the tree, church? God is hungry. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. You are walking with me for so long. And how come you don't understand that I am hungry for them to be saved? How can you walk with me for 1 year and a half? And you look more like the Pharisees, more like Herod, more like whatever, and you don't look like me. Amen? God is hungry.